Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Yes, that line falls on the right.
Bay. Is that the unemployment line?
Not that Maggie. Back in town.
Yeah.
Look out, old Maggie is back.
Chris McMichael. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 202 on the Fan. McMonagle here with you. You know how it works. I got you for 3 hours, all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Fleegs on the other side. We are taking your phone calls at 888-808-1019 on this reaction every Monday to week two in the NFL. Jets get a victory. They do have a key injury, obviously, but they do get their first win of the year, and we'll talk about it. But this open is reserved for a special franchise. You know, we like to say, same old Jets, LOL Jets. Well, if this isn't the same old Giants over and over again, and I heard Lori mention it, I heard it in the postgame of the Sunday Night Football broadcast here on The Fan. This is the ninth time in the last 12 years that the New York Giants have started 0-2. This is the ninth time in the last dozen years that the season is over in week two. And we can go through the schedule and we will. And where's the first win coming from? I've heard that about 100. I don't know where the first win's coming from. I have no idea. I know where it should have came from. And it should have been yesterday against the Washington Commanders. But this team is inept, and they find ways to lose. They find new and innovative ways to lose. They are the first team in NFL history to score 3 touchdowns, not allow any touchdowns, and lose the football game. And the most refreshing and only thing I can say positive about the New York Jets is this morning, while I kill them, I won't have to kill Daniel Jones. And we won't have to talk about how poor the quarterback played. And I can actually get off it for a second. It's very difficult for me. I've owned up to this. And maybe it's a flaw of mine. And I'm open to the idea that I have flaws. No one's perfect. It's a flaw of mine that I'm unable to have real conversations about the New York Giants without involving the quarterback, because of how important the position is, because of how it's the future of your franchise, because of the money they paid him, the decisions and the ramifications of it. It's very difficult for me to have a serious conversation about the New York Giants without the quarterback. So in that aspect, let me thank Brian Daboll, because he's allowed me to not have to yell about Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones was fine in this game. Daniel Jones was good in this game. Daniel Jones was not great in this game. Daniel Jones was as good as you can be with this slop, the amount of possession he had, the amount of time he had. Daniel Jones did as well as you could possibly expect Daniel Jones to do. So he's not the problem. So at least we don't have to do that. Instead, we got to talk about the myriad of ways this team found a way to lose a game they had no business losing. Whether it's the defense that can't get off the field to save their lives, can't get off the field. It started in the first possession of this game. That clearly ended in a field goal like every other possession in the entire game. Other than taking a knee at the end of the half, the Washington Commanders scored points on every possession of the game. Yes, they held them the field goals. And yes, we could talk about how good the defensive red zone, the red zone defense was. Great. In the first possession, 3rd and 13, penalty. 3rd and 13 scrambles. Daniels, who couldn't throw the ball, couldn't get anything going whatsoever, still managed to run away from every single pass rush. Did they have one? I'm sorry, I forgot. They only have a first-round draft pick as an edge rusher and then a huge trade and contract to Burns as a pass rush. I forgot. Because they don't make an impact on the game. And this defense, this bend-but-don't-break mentality of Shane Bowen, absolutely was a disaster in this game. And they have been beaten by now a team that looks better, as they obviously Minnesota went and beat the 49ers earlier yesterday. But they've been beaten by Sam Darnold, and they've been beaten by a rookie quarterback who really can't get his pass game going, and a Commanders team that is absolutely atrocious, one of the worst defenses in the league. So, yeah, while we praise the Giants, and there are some positives, Daniel Jones played well. Neighbors look like a budding young superstar, and we'll get to him in just a second. They scored some points, threw some touchdown passes. There are positives. Did they play better than they did in week one, that embarrassing performance against Minnesota? Of course they did. They played much better. Offensively, which is what we've been looking for, they played much better in this game. Against one of the worst defenses in the NFL, they managed to show a functioning offense. But they still managed to do enough to stub their toes and find ways to lose. Whether it's the fumble, as they're about to, you know, go on a run there, at coming out of the second half, they have that opportunity to do the famous, you know, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Patriots move of scoring into the half and coming out of the second half and scoring. They're about to do that. A nice run from Singletary where he's about to get a first down. He ran the ball hard. He ran the ball well. But, of course, a fumble will end that drive. They always make the mistake. Always. And I'm burying the lead about the kicker just like, because the situation is so mind-numbing to me. And you want to talk about, and I know Brian Daboll had to answer questions about the hot seat, and it's been a conversation around this team, you know, because they fire coaches every 2 years. So clearly he's on borrowed time because this is year three. So that's the conversation. What's going on with this coach? You know, we've had it. Is he on the hot seat? Is he coaching for his job? Bill Belichick waits in the wings. That conversation's been around. You know what gets you fired as a head coach? Losing football games. He does that. You know what else gets you fired? Making the same mistakes over and over again. And we've seen this with Gano. We saw this last year with Gano heading into a game with injury. And on the first kickoff that gets called back, Gano pulls his hamstring. And he comes into this game. Right? He tweaked his groin on Saturday or whatever. I saw a tweet from Dan Duggan, covers the Giants for The Athletic, around noon, 11:30, noon, somewhere around there, talking about how uncomfortable Graham Gano looked in his warm-ups, that he's grimacing after kicks, that he cut his work, his pregame short, that Gillum the punter is trying field goals in the warm-up prior to the game. And yet they go into this game with no safety net at a position where, like, we obviously saw, me and Fliegelman were talking about this. Obviously, and we're going to get to it, 888-808-1019, Jermaine Johnson goes down for the New York Jets. Devastating injury. Looks like he's going to be gone for the year with a torn Achilles. Devastating injury for a young, talented edge rusher that they clearly need. And now we could really, for the first time, have an Hassan Reddick conversation of substance here. But there's other pass rushers. The Jets go in and out. They rotate their pass rushers. There, you lose a wide receiver, even if it's a dynamic player that you count on. You have other guys who could step up. You have an edge rusher. You lose. Other guys could step up. You lose a safety. You lose a cornerback. Other guys can step up. You have a kicker. Here we are going for two-point conversions on every touchdown and not kicking easy extra points to go up by four or having an opportunity to kick a field goal, give you the lead. This is what we're talking about. You can't have no safety net at a position where inherently there's one of them. If you know he is injured heading into the game, even if you think he can go, there's a 53-man roster. You have the kicker on the practice squad. Bring him up. Have a backup just in case something happens like it did last year.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? an easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's mind-numbingly stupid. Now, again, I'll quote Brian Daboll. I'm not a doctor. He's not a doctor. I have no idea if he pulls his hamstring, whether he had a groin or not. This is not a groin on a kick where that's when he lost it and it was clear that that was the issue. We don't know. That's fair, I suppose. I mean, it could be all connected. Everything always is. It's likely that that's the cause of it, or it wouldn't have happened otherwise. I don't know. But whatever the case may be, he came into the game favoring an injury. And you allowed yourself to be in a position. Oh, who do you think you are? The greatest show on turf? You don't think your field goal kicker is going to come into play? You're the New York Giants. You score 30 points once a year. Haley's Comet comes around more often than 30-point performances from this offense. You didn't think you might get into a field goal kicking contest against the Washington Commanders? This is the kind of stuff that gets you fired. I understand the offensive game plan was better. I understand they got the best out of Daniel Jones. I know they threw 18 out of 28 passes to their stud wide receiver who warranted it, got open, made big plays, dropped the last pass, which, by the way, I understand we're not going to, you can't kill him. You can't point to it as the reason they lost, because you know what? If it weren't for him, they wouldn't be in that position. But you want to be a great player in this league? You have to make that catch, plain and simple. I believe and have faith that he will the next time. He looked like a dynamic player. But you want to be a great, young, talented wide receiver? You have to make that catch. So while we could talk about his 10 receptions and all the yards and the touchdown pass, the biggest play of the game, he let a win slip through his fingers. That's just a fact, and we shouldn't be afraid to say it. He needs to be better. That catch has to be made. The 10 prior are meaningless when you drop that one. That's a fact. But it's not what we're going to scream about today. It's the inept, it's the unprepared head coach. He did not give his team a chance to win. Now, I know if you play the numbers, and I saw this a couple different people, where could the Giants still lose if Gano was healthy? Sure. Right? There's that third touchdown. There was a fourth down that they went for it, got it to Neighbors, ended up scoring a touchdown where they would have kicked the field goal in that spot. So ultimately, you could have had the two extra points to make it 14, then the field goal make it 17. If you kick a field goal instead of the misplay by Neighbors at the end of the game, now it's 20. You still lose 21-20, whatever the case may be. That's not the point. Honestly, it's not the point. The point is the Giants willingly went into a game without a backup plan or a safety net for an injured kicker who had the same issue last year, and you got burnt in the same way. They just played a game against the Commanders where they didn't have a kicker and Washington didn't need a punter. I mean, you want to talk about embarrassing. Did they get embarrassed like they did in week one? No. Did they get dominated? No. But they're ill-prepared and just lost a game they had no business losing to, against a dreadful team with a rookie quarterback who I think is going to be good in this league, but isn't ready to be that guy just yet. And instead, this defense continued to allow third down conversion after third down conversion. 7 field goals they scored on every possession. I mean, this is what gets coaches fired. I'm sorry. The question is absolutely warranted after the game. This is now the second consecutive year where they're just not prepared to start the season. I know they had a second half against Arizona last year, but like, he's not learning from his mistakes. Now he's got a defensive coordinator, let's be honest, right, who's supposed to stop the run. That's what he did in Tennessee with defensive front heading into the season. That's one of the strongest units of the New York Giants. You got one of the best D tackles in the league. You just got these two edge guys. The linebacking core of the Hurricanes is probably one of the best they've had in forever. Should be able to stop the run. That's what you know this defensive coordinator is going to do. 215 yards on the ground from the Commanders in this game. 215 yards. And the reason why he's here and not one of the better defensive coordinators in this league that pretty much propelled them to a playoff spot 2 years ago is because him and the coach couldn't get along. The bloom is off the rose with this head coach. That is a despicable display of ineptitude. I'm sorry. That is a terrible job by this coach. Now, his game plan was much better. His offensive game plan was much better. He got much better out of the quarterback. The offense looked like it could function. Great. Great. I'm very excited for the future. I can't wait to play Cleveland on the road. Let's see how that goes. They just did it against Washington. And they still couldn't find a way to win this game. I mean, and you're looking at, and I'm sorry to say this. Like, we could talk about how the offense looked better and you're looking for improvement every week. Sure. Where, like, and I don't want to play the where are they going to get the wins from, but let's just be honest. This team is not good enough to beat who they have in front of them. If this is a game you can't win, if you can't win a game where you scored 3 touchdowns and your opponent scored none, if you can't win a game where the conversation around the quarterback has held down this team for forever and he played well, you can't win a game where your young wide receiver showed exactly who he can be. If you can't win a game against a rookie quarterback, if you can't win this game against Washington, what game are you going to win? So I'm sure a lot of Giant fans are going to be mad about tank conversation. And I'm sure a lot of Giant fans are going to be mad that we're already having discussions about the coach's job. But this is what happens in the NFL when your season is dead after week 2. And make no mistake. Make no mistake. This Giant season is dead. And the idea that this coach went into this game and didn't and was unprepared to possibly deal with an injury to the one guy who doesn't have a backup, that you did not give a backup to that position when he came in with a groin injury and we've seen him be unable to make kicks because of injury. The idea that you stood there at the post game and said, we thought he'd be fine. We thought he'd be fine. It's hard to take. It's hard to take. And as we stare ahead and we look at Cleveland and we look at the Cowboys and we look at where the hell the next couple of wins are coming from, what does it matter? And if I'm John Mara, what has this group done? Has the drafting helped? Well, let's be honest. They got 2 first round picks. Their first draft, Joe Shane, because he's part of the decision and the roster construction and who played today and who was suited up today. I mean, let's be honest. Let's look at the draft picks. You got Kayvon Thibodeau, who I wouldn't call a bust, But is he impacting these games? You've got Evan Neal, who can't see the field. You've got a third-round wide receiver in Hyatt, who, I mean, I guess they're just giving up on. He doesn't see the field. They traded for and paid Burns, who I think, to be fair here, two games is a bit early to make a decision on that, but 0-2. Like, what has this GM, they paid $40 million to Daniel Jones. You want to say they had no choice? I might even agree with you. They did it. There's always a choice. They paid $40 million to this quarterback. They've drafted at least three players in premium spots who have done absolutely nothing and hardly can see the field, two out of the three. They've created a defense and a defensive backfield who can't get off the field against the Washington Commanders and get blown out by Sam Darnold. What exactly has this group shown other than a surprise season where they found a way to run the ball with Saquon Barkley, not turn the ball over, play a last play schedule, have a defense that made plays and outplayed its actual talent because of Wink Martindale, who, oh yeah, by the way, this coach couldn't work with? What has this group shown you that they deserve a year three? Same old Jets, same old Giants. Another disastrous performance. Another game they had, they absolutely could have won and lost. And sure, we could talk about the positives and the young wide receiver and Daniel Jones played better and the defense didn't give up touchdowns. The defense was a joke. The bend and but don't break. I mean, if you bend that much, is there a difference? Just to, you know, it's to be a Giant fan right now, it is extremely hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Extremely hard. And it's going to be hard not to convince me if they don't beat Cleveland and they get embarrassed by Dallas and they're going to take Daniel Jones off the field because they can't risk him getting hurt. It's going to be hard to convince me I should care about the Giants winning another football game. It's going to be hard to convince me that they're not better off losing every damn one of them. And I shouldn't have to be talking like this in September. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the Jets and their win and some of the positives and negatives you could take from that game. Wasn't an overly impressive performance, but a win is a win. Aaron Rodgers did show Aaron Rodgers, the young running back, and now this running back tandem showed they could be explosive in both the run game and the pass game. You do lose an edge rusher, and that's going to open up the conversation more than ever to Hassan Reddick. But ultimately, the Jets did get a victory on the road, which is never easy in this league. Aaron Rodgers in this offense that seemed weird with their tempo early in the game. I have to admit, I love Aaron Rodgers, and I do think he played relatively well in this game, and I expect him to have a good year and play winning football. He looked like he was in slow motion at times in the first half of this game. So we'll get to that, and then, of course, we'll get to the baseball. As the Yankees take 3 out of 4 against the Boston Red Sox and the world great manager, Alex Cora. Gonna have a little fun with Alex Cora coming up. As they are now 3 games up on Baltimore, and the Mets lose 2 out of 3 to Philadelphia. Heartbreaking loss on Saturday. Tough loss on Sunday. Still great pitching for the most part. But now are tied with Atlanta heading into this final stretch. So we still have pennant race baseball, we still have a Jets season, and we can cry and yell about the end of the New York Giants season.